Welcome back to Copper Country Today. I'm your host, Rick Allen. Coming up soon is the Pine Mountain Music Festival. And joining me for this segment is Joel Nevis, who is the artistic director for the festival. Joel, welcome back to the program.
Hello. It's great to be back.
We, of course, were talking about the Pine Mountain Music Festival last year. It was a great show to do. I learned a lot about the different artists that performed there. See, some are coming back. Plus, you have some new things going on. So we'll be talking in depth about them, learning a little bit more about what operatic scenes are coming. I've heard some exciting stuff about that. We'll be happy to share those with you as well. First, let's talk a little bit of just about what is the festival.
So the Pine Mountain Music Festival has been around since 1991. We're in the 27th season of producing a season of classical and opera music. The last couple of years, we've added folk and jazz to the festival. So it's a broader, more diverse music festival than it's been in the past. We have presented professional opera throughout the festival's existence, and we've had string quartet, chamber music, now jazz bands, folk artists, and it's been one of the most imaginative and refreshing festivals in the United States. In fact, it's the only festival that tours each of its guest artists throughout a region. Most music festivals just have it in one city or one venue, and we go throughout the UP. So this year we'll be in Marquette, Iron Mountain, and Houghton.
Now, when we were talking last year, yeah, you were doing some, call them maybe experimental things with bringing in some different types of artists and different types of music. How was that received?
It was received very well. We wanted to expand sort of the base of our audience for the festival, and we figured that not everybody in the UP is going to be attracted by opera, but there's a big, huge patronage for jazz and especially for folk, bluegrass, and so forth. And so we were very successful. We were able to raise ticket sales about 44% last year, and we got really good reviews and sort of a new energy in the festival, and we still present all of the great operatic and classical stuff, but also with some more sort of popular genres as well.
I can see why that would be exciting for those that wanted to see some, you know, a different mix of music. But what about your hardcore classical fans? How did they respond?
Well, the hardcore classical fans gave it a chance. They went to the concerts. It's part of the season ticket package, and I think they enjoyed it. We had a great folk artist last year, Patty Larkin, who's been around the Midwest and national scene for over 30 years, and so she was very well received. Our jazz component was the Lake Effect Jazz Quintet with sort of our local legends, Mike Irish and Mike Christensen. So there's a base there, people who know Mike and Mike from Michigan Tech. So I think they enjoyed sort of the new take on the festival. What really the idea is that we'll draw new audiences as well, who already embrace jazz and folk. And if they come and they enjoy something, someone like Josh Davis, who's coming this year, maybe they'll give opera a chance as well.
As the artistic director, did you find it satisfying to be able to bring in different genres as well?
Oh, I did, and I do, because that's sort of what my persona is. At Michigan Tech, I conduct the orchestra. I teach music appreciation and conducting. But in the summers, I teach the history of rock and roll, which I'm currently teaching, and Beatles and Beach Boys, a separate class. So that's sort of how
that's a degree I could get behind.
Yeah, it's great. It's a great job to have. And that's sort of how my iPod is configured too. It's sort of half classical and half rock. And so this festival sort of veers that way in terms of having a broader genre to reach out to more people. And I think it's been successful. I think that's where festivals need to go in the 21st century, and that's what festivals are doing. You can't just be all opera, especially in this region of the country with such broad, diverse tastes. You have to sort of bring the music to the people and perform what they want to hear. And that's what the festival is doing.
You touched on it briefly a moment ago, but you know, one of the unique things about this festival is, whereas a lot of times you know if you're going to go to a music event, you go to a venue and you know all the acts take place there, and usually over a single weekend. And you know, if you don't go there, then you miss it. In the Pine Mountain Music Festival, you have multiple opportunities to see different artists in different places. You can follow along or stay at home, and eventually they'll come to you. And that's it's a pretty neat formula to have.
It is. And it's sort of a necessity because the UP is such a large place that we, there's a great audience base in the Marquette area, the Dickinson area, Iron Mountain, and Houghton Hancock, up here in upper north. And so part of the challenge is getting the music to the people. And so we have to go, 2 hours to Marquette, 2 hours to Iron Mountain to bring the music we've done Escanaba to. And we've gone all throughout the UP, and so it's sort of a necessary evil, but it's actually a great blessing to be able to see just the excitement throughout this this wonderful region of the country for the type of music that we do. We've had a great response from all of our audiences for many, many years, and I call the festival one of the jewels of America. It's very unique and awesome.
It certainly is that. With the different venues, with Iron Mountain, Marquette, and Houghton, do you see that different areas have they more inclined to a particular genre? Like all those opera fans in Iron Mountain, but the classical fans in Marquette.
Well, I think there's fans for our music in all of the areas. The operas, for example, next year we're going to do Carmen, Bizet's Carmen, for the festival, and we will just do the opera here in Houghton, because it's hard to transport an opera, all the costumes and the props and all the musicians, from place to place.
You're doing the whole opera?
Yeah, we're doing the whole opera Carmen next year.
Wow.
And so... One of the great operas, and it's going to be great. And but in terms of the geography, we've had great reception in Marquette and Iron Mountain as well for opera, for classical music. The Bergonzi String Quartet, who is our resident quartet now, permanent quartet in residence for the festival, is very well received as well. So I see that there's just I think there's this broad audience for our broad genre base that we provide to our the festival in every single city.
Well, let's talk about your lineup for this year. Of course, you mentioned the Bergonzi String Quartet. We can be assured that they'll be back, and also some new people as well. So what do you have coming?
Well, the Bergonzi String Quartet is here again, but in different form. We've actually had two members of the quartet retire, Glenn Basham, who was the leader of the quartet, and Pamela McConnell, both retired from the quartet. And so there's two new members from the Miami area, Chauncey on viola and Evija on second violin, and Scott Flavin has become the new leader, the first violinist for the quartet. And so they will be here, so it'll be kind of exciting to see the new chemistry and the musical results of the new lineup. Scott, the leader of the group, has actually written a play called The Beethoven Project. And The Beethoven Project is a play for two actors in string quartet. Very interesting sort of multi-genre work. It's sort of a string quartet performance, but it's also a play mixed together in a dramatic sort of storytelling setting. It's in two acts, and it basically traces important moments throughout Beethoven's life, sort of gives good glimpses into his struggles. Beethoven lost his ability to hear. Through most of his great works, he could no longer hear, and so Beethoven was a very frustrated person. And so you sort of get that sense in the play. And so it traces his life with these two actors. And Beethoven is actually played by Mark Wilcox, who's a local actor in town, was just performed in West Side Story. And so he sort of looks like Beethoven did a little bit. And so I think Mark will do a great job. And then Bettina, who is sort of Beethoven's love interest, is played by Julie Tabash-Kelsheimer, who has performed with the festival many times. And so it's a play, And it's based on the letters from his contemporaries and from Beethoven himself, intermingled with the string quartet playing movements from his string quartets.
Well, how unique is that for the Pine Mountain Music Festival to have, you know, basically a, you have a drama performance happening in the music festival?
Well, we present opera. We have had, I think, three world premieres of operas. We've had chamber operas. We've premiered a string quartet before. This is a new premiere of a sort of a genre I've never heard of before, a string quartet sort of play. And it's thoroughly exciting and unprecedented. I'm excited to see how it plays out.
Is Mark going to be singing?
Mark will not be singing, but Julie will be singing.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, man, that sounds exciting.
Yeah.
Okay. The Bergonzi String Quartet, since they're the resident string quartet for the Pine Mountain Music Festival, during the rest of the time of the year, are they touring? Are they active involved in other national programs?
Well, the string quartet is actually a resident quartet at another festival in the East Coast. And I believe Scott and Avisia are faculty at University of Miami, the Frost School of Music. Chauncey, and they're all professional, and Ross Harbaugh, the cellist, he's also at Miami. They're all professional string players and concertmasters of operas, concertmasters of orchestras, and so they have full time jobs there in Florida, and then they come here in the summers, and they love it. This is a relationship that will continue in perpetuity. They're beloved by us, and they love us as well.
Okay, so this is one of the few opportunities you can get to see them all play together during a year. Okay.
Sure.
All right, and who else do you have coming?
Okay, so we're also bringing in opera scenes. Opera is an important element of the festival, obviously, and so we bring in three young emerging sort of superstars on the national scene in opera. The soprano is Julie Tabash-Kelsheimer, who has performed with our Mozart operas, also with some opera scenes. She was a resident opera artist a few years ago. Julie is just spectacular. Kelsey Park, who's the mezzo-soprano, and then the tenor is Billy Brulee. People will be amazed at their talent and their charm, their musicality, their artistry, and they'll be singing just highlights from some of the great operas by Mozart, Rossini, Puccini, you name it, and especially a few sort of appetizing arias from Carmen, which we'll be playing next year.
Okay. And who else?
Joshua Davis is our folk component this year. Joshua Davis is really an electric, just world-class talent. Joshua Davis sort of made his mark by being a finalist on NBC's The Voice.
Oh.
And so he became sort of an instant national success after that. Joshua Davis has come here to the UP. He's from Michigan. And he's the best-selling artist in the UP. When he comes, he gets packed houses. He comes here yearly, and he's bringing his trio this year. He's a singer-songwriter, writes his own songs, writes his own albums. His first album was called Last Winter in the Copper Country. He has an amazing voice, really imaginative guitar work. His genres are a mix of sort of rock, soul, funk, and folk mixed together. And He's a very, very well-known entity here. And so a lot of people will know the name Joshua Davis, and it should be a great draw for the festival.
Well, how much connection does he have to the area to have his album named that? You mentioned he's from Michigan, but he's got to have some connection with here. I imagine he's been here during a Copper Country winter.
Yeah, he's been here definitely during a Copper Country winter. He comes to the Orpheum Theater, which he'll be performing at here for the festival. He's played at the Ordock in Marquette, which he'll be playing at in Marquette. And he's going to the Braumart in Iron Mountain for this festival. He's been here many, many times, either himself or his trio. So it's a special treat. He hasn't brought his trio very often. And so we get the whole power-packed musicality right there.
Oh, that's incredible. Have you had a chance to see him perform?
I haven't, but I've watched his YouTube videos, and I've heard reviews from him. And I asked around saying, who's the greatest folk artist we should bring here? And I heard Joshua Davis. So we found out about Joshua Davis, and he's coming.
Yeah, well, I'll definitely have to check out those YouTube videos myself because I have not seen him perform, and I don't watch The Voice, and so I'm not familiar with him there. But kind of neat to have, you know, somebody with that much of a national presence and to be that successful of a recording artist here from Michigan to be coming here, and you know, this, and people can go, you know, see him perform, you know, locally. That's pretty neat.
Yeah, yeah, it's a special treat.
And who's next?
Let's see. We have the Lake Effect Quintet, who appeared last year. It's a group of local professional musicians. I call them one of the most refreshing and imaginative professional ensembles in the Midwest. They play mostly jazz, but it's also intermingled with rock, Latin, and pop and folk and so forth. It's led by Mike Irish and Mike Christensen. Mike Irish is the long-serving jazz studies professor at Michigan Tech and professional guitarist locally. Mike Christensen is the conductor of the Pep Band at Michigan Tech and a guy who played on Broadway for 23 years, was the top call Broadway trombonist and tubist in Manhattan. He was the only guy who could really play tuba and tenor trombone and bass trombone for the same show, and so he's quite a unique talent.
Just not at the same time.
But it's a great ensemble. We've got Dan Komarczak, who is the bass player. Glenn Basham, who actually retired from the Braganzi String Quartet, joined the jazz quintet last year, and he's had sort of this underground hidden talent of being an awesome jazz fiddling guru during the last decade or so of his life, and so he's a really amazing top draw, just a world-class violinist in the classical realm, and a very, very talented jazz fiddler as well. And so even though he's not coming with the Braganzi String Quartet, he will be here with the jazz quintet. And so they'll be playing just a great array of tunes. And why I think they're partly so imaginative is their instrumentation is very out there. We've got fiddle with Glenn. We've got guitar with Mike Irish. We've got Mike Christensen playing jazz tuba and jazz trombone. We have Dan on bass, and then Tom Christensen, who's actually Mike Christensen's brother, on drums. I don't know of any other ensemble that's drums, guitar, fiddle, tuba, trombone, and bass.
What venue do they perform at?
Well, it's sort of an ad hoc ensemble. They get together for the Pine Mountain Music Festival, mostly. I mean, they're gigging all over the place in their own. You know, here in this town, people have just various gigs and ensembles. Mike and Mike play as a duo. They play in bands. Mike Christensen goes to Manhattan to play in his jazz bands. And so they all have sort of their separate gigs. Dan's in a band, but they join together for this sort of superstar ensemble for the festival.
And that quintet, where will they be performing?
They'll be performing at the Orpheum.
Okay.
At the Orpheum this year.
Okay, yeah. And so the same place as Joshua Davis when he performs.
Correct.
Okay. Because somebody was telling me about, one of the best ways to experience jazz music in the local area is through the backstage at the Rosé that are held there. And so I was wondering, was there any connection, or do you ever get to see these people perform in that setting?
Well, we did the backstage at Rosé sort of format last year for the festival at the Rosé. So the jazz quintet performed there. It's beautiful. It's the back part of the stage with the curtain there, and it's a very intimate sort of space where you sort of feel just really there with the performers right up front. We asked the performers and sort of locals where the best venues would be for jazz and folk, and the Orpheum is one of those just classic spots. And so we are having the jazz quintet perform there and the folk component perform there. We'll probably do that in the future as well. Orpheum, we wanted to have two separate venues in the area. Rosé is classical, Orpheum is jazz and folk.
Yeah. Well, the Orpheum, you can't really beat it for that type of, you know, setting anyway. So, very, like I said, very intimate, very, very close. And of course, it's just a wonderful venue to be at.
It is.
What are the ones that performances that I enjoy, learning about is the Upstarts, because it's the local people that get a chance to be part of this, really awesome tradition of the festival.
Yeah, this year we decided to sort of cast a wider net to find the talent for the Upstart. So the Upstarts are, the requirement is you have to be from the UP. You don't necessarily have to be living here, but you have to be originally from here. On the application, you need to say, what is your town of origin? And it's open to anybody from the ages of 14 to 25 that's a local musician that's an awesome musician. And so this year we did the first UP Pine Mountain Music Festival talent contest. Oh. So we opened it. We put articles in newspapers and did ad spots everywhere saying, put in an application to become an Upstart. So we got a good number of applications from all around the peninsula for young musicians interested in performing as an Upstart. So we chose four of them, four outstanding. I don't know if we've had better Upstarts before. And I think part of it was I wanted to know who's out there. Because finding Upstarts before was very difficult. We had to ask around and word of mouth, and that's a difficult thing to do because you don't know if you're necessarily finding all of the gems. And so what we did is we looked at the applications and were able to just decide who was the best artists. And we found four great artists. One is Maggie Wong from Houghton High School, who is an amazing pianist and excellent vocalist, soprano. And Maggie Wong was actually Amal in Amal and the Night Visitors when she was a little kid a few years ago, which I conducted with the opera at Michigan Tech. So she's from Houghton. We've got Ricky Vermeulen, who is a viola player. Who is at Michigan Tech, just finished his first year. He's from Marquette, an astounding talent, one of the great freshman violists I've ever been associated with. PJ Uhazi, I'm not sure if I'm saying his last name right, but he's from the Escanaba area, and he's at the Lawrence Conservatory right now in Appleton studying voice. And just a real charming singer. People are going to love his spirit and his artistry. And then Catherine Nevela, she's a flute player. She's from Ishpeming, I believe, and she is studying flute at Northern Michigan.
It's amazing the amount of talent that the Upper Peninsula of Michigan has. And you know, you think of music, and of course you would think, oh well, you know, all the best artists are going to come from Chicago or New York or one of the hubs, and yet people from this area come out with just so much talent. We see it at Michigan Tech often, you know, with the, you know, the Keweenaw Symphony Orchestra and other performances there. And this is just another, I guess, another way to find those gems, as you were mentioning. Do you remember how many applications you got and how difficult it was to pick the four?
Well, it was difficult to pick the four because we had some really great applications from Iron Mountain, the Marquette, Keweenaw, Escanaba, you name it, mostly throughout the Bessemer. And it was difficult deciding because there's some real talents. And that's why I wanted to open it up as sort of a talent contest to find out who's out there, because I don't know. It was one of the most heartening things to get a sense of the talent UP-wide in terms of music and artistry. We got a good number. I don't remember how many applications we had. I think for next year, we're going to get the word out a little bit earlier so people know about it. I think it was just, it was hard to get it into people's minds what Upstarts is, what is Pine Mountain Music Festival, and how awesome it is. And so I think as the word spreads, it will catch on like wildfire.
Well, you also need to get it on your local radio stations.
We do. That'd be a great idea. That's a good hint.
So the Pine Mountain Music Festival takes place all the way through from June 16th to July 1st, different venues. Of course, people are going to want to know, you know, where the best place and time for them to be able to see a show. How can they find that out?
So our website is pmmf.org, pinemountainmusicfestival.org. And it's a great website. It has all the information you need. Tickets are on sale. They went on sale on May 1st. At the ticketing operations at Michigan Tech. So all tickets can be purchased there. We have a presence on Facebook, on Twitter, and social media. So there's a lot of ways to get a hold of the festival. And You know, it's it, like you said, Rick. It's a local venture, and it's a community venture, and we work together as a community to make something special. And so we're all here together as a team, and always interested in having more help, more volunteers, more donors, more members of the board, more musicians, so on and so forth. So go to pmmf.org for more information.
And if you're looking for some, you know, either YouTube videos or samples of performances by many of those that are going to appear in the Pine Mountain Music Festival, you can find that on the internet too, probably even with links from the Pine Mountain Music Festival.org, the PMMF.org website,
right,
and find out, you know, who you want to see the most or see them all and then decide after. So
that's right.
Joel Nevis has been my guest today. He's the artistic director for the Pine Mountain Music Festival. Joel, again, thank you for coming on the program.
It was a true pleasure.
Copper Country Today, we'll be right back.